Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend. Along with my co-host, Macaulay and Matthew, I am, of course, William Ramo. What's up, Macaulay?
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, not much, man. A busy day in sports. You know, Mets and Yankees played. Of course, the Hall of Fame, Baseball Hall of Fame, inducted six worthy candidates into the Hall of Fame this afternoon. We'll get into that also. We'll talk a little NBA news. And, you know, as usual, we're going to wrap it up with a little sports entertainment, a little WWE news, a little recap of the Battleground pay-per-view event and, you know, what's going on latest in WWE, including, you know, the Sting news. So we'll get into that. But, of course, fans, folks, you know, the numbers are, it's 917-388-4189. That's 917-388-4189. So feel free to give your thoughts, speak your mind, and with that, let's talk about the the Hall of Fame inductions. And it was a very wonderful class. You had it was like Atlanta Braves Day basically.
Yeah.
You had Tom Glavin, of course, the former Brave and Met, brief Met Tom Glavin. You had the former Atlanta Brave and Cub, Greg Maddux. You had Joe Torre, you know, who was a former player with the Cardinals and briefly ended his career with the Mets before he became a player manager. And, of course, we all know why he's in the Hall of Fame, you know, because of his terrific tenure as a Yankee manager, which, you know, made him have four World Series rings in the Bronx. And, of course, you know, there's Bobby Cox, the longtime Braves manager who briefly managed the Toronto Blue Jays and, you know, in between stints.
Yep.
And, of course, you have the big hurt, Frank Thomas. The back-to-back MVP in 92-93 with the Chicago White Sox. So, a very worthy class indeed. And Tony La Russa, see? That's how strong the class was. And, you know, Tony La Russa, former White Sox, A's, and St. Louis Cardinals manager. He also went into the Hall of Fame. So you had, you had probably top five of the MLB, you know, managers of all time, you know, winning percentage and, you know, success-wise going into the Hall of Fame this afternoon. And then you have, you know, two of the greatest pitchers of all time who combined for 660 wins, you know, as, you know, Maddux and Glavin, you know, two of the three original big three. And we should all expect John Smoltz to go in next year, hopefully with Piazza, but we'll wait and see.
That
so what were your thoughts on it?
It was great. It was one of the strongest Hall of Fame class that we've seen in a long time. It was so entertaining today and so exciting to watch. I didn't even get to watch the Yankee game today. I missed most of the Yankee game because I stayed tuned in to the Hall of Fame ceremony. And, you know, they had some great speeches. Torre talking about his World Series run with the Yankees and, you know, his him being fired, you know, as coach from the Mets. Cardinal, I think he managed the Cardinals also, right?
Oh, yeah,
he
that is
one
correct.
Of the teams. Cardinals.
The playoffs. And 85, I think the year was?
I think so. And then he finally found success with the Yankees when Steinbrenner called him out and told him he's his guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he went on to talk about key moments during the World Series runs. And his favorite players like Mo, Jeter, David Cone. And you had Tommy Glavin and Maddux talking about their careers in Atlanta with the Braves. And them being a part of a three-man combination along with Schmaltz, who was there at the ceremony. And Bobby Cox talking about, you know, his career managing the Braves and some of the methods and tactics that he used to motivate the players. And Frank Thomas got emotional during his speech. You know, he acknowledged a lot of the players and a lot of the coaches and managers that he's had a chance to play with throughout his career. And mentioned his dad, his mom and dad as well, fired him and motivated him to play baseball. I mean, overall, this was a great ceremony. I enjoyed watching it. You know, I'm glad I missed the Yankee game for that. It was great to watch.
Yeah. Oh, funny how you mentioned that, because when I was watching the Met game, Keith and Gary Cohen, you know, the Met broadcasters, they were basically saying, I think it was Keith Hernandez who was saying that. He was saying that how, you know, the day before the Hall of Fame, they should have a day-night doubleheader, and then on the Sunday of the Hall of Fame, there should be no games whatsoever. So people could just, you know,
yeah,
could just
that's a good, yeah, you're right.
Focus on the Hall of Fame ceremony.
That's a good idea.
I when I heard that, I was like, wow, yeah, that is a great idea.
That's a good idea.
I wish I would have checked it out. You know, I mean, it had legendary, you know, legendary players and managers. I mean, it would have been a lot. It would have definitely taken more of a center stage, you know, if there was no games playing.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, I wish that idea would come into fruition.
Yeah, maybe one day.
Yeah, maybe. And speaking of your Yankees, they lost the last two games to the Blue Jays after winning 17 straight at Yankee Stadium.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, today was a tough loss. We our bullpen gave it up. David Robinson has been great this year. Gave up a single to Deano Navarro to punch in a run, and the Jays ended up winning this game 5-4. They won the game yesterday 6-4, snapping that 17 game winning streak. And they end up taking two out of the three games this weekend. And Yankees right now, they find themselves 3.5 games behind the Orioles. I mean, they're still close, but they have to treat every game from now on like a playoff game, basically.
You're right.
Because I don't think right now they have a chance at the wild card, because it looks like the Angels are probably going to win the wild card. So Yankees have to win this division to make the playoffs.
You're right. They definitely got to bounce back, this upcoming series.
Yep. But they've been pitching well lately. Their pitching has been doing real good, minus all the starters that we have out.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah,
Capuano
made it. The former Met and Dodger, he made his debut yesterday.
Mm-hmm. And he pitched good for the most part, but we just couldn't hold on to win the game, so. But we end up finishing this homestand, this 10-game homestand on a 7-3 record. So not bad.
Yeah, not bad at all. Ended on a little sour note, but you know, overall, you know, a successful homestand.
Oh yeah.
And switching gears to the other team in town, New York, the Mets. You know, they split the series with the Brewers this weekend. Jacob DeGrom, a guy you're familiar with, you know, he pitched well. I think he's won six of his last seven starts. No, not six of it. I think he's pitched well six of his last seven starts. He's won, I think, four straight to even up his record, 5-5. So, you know, he's a, you know, an NL Rookie of the Year candidate, you know, because of his brilliant performance he's been pitching this year. Fortunately, he hasn't been getting a lot of run support, but the guy's been ace. You know, he's been like the ace of the team. He hardly has a bad start. I could probably count on a few fingers that he actually had a bad start. He's had a few. But, you know, the Mets have been, you know, pitching better lately. You know, Saturday, Nace was pitching well until he went into the fifth inning where he just blew up and gave up three runs, which basically led to him losing. I'm trying to remember. By the way, today's game ended 2-0 because Lucas Duda, man, this guy, I hope he's in the Mitchell report, because this guy, he's been hitting home runs after this season, man. He had 17 home runs, and before the season, he wasn't playing that well, but now he's swinging at first pitch strikes. He's more aggressive at the plate. You know, if I was Sandy Alderson, I would have traded him in the beginning of the year and kept Ike Davis, but thank God I'm not the GM. So, you know,
yeah.
he's doing his thing, and he hit another home run this year. I mean, today, a bomb, upper second deck shot, you know, at Brewer Stadium. I mean, he's really coming to his own.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Hopefully he can keep that up. And, you know, the Mets, they improved their record to 50-55. So, you know, they need all the wins they can get. And hopefully facing the Phillies, you know, this upcoming series, you know, they can build upon that. Another thing, I don't know if you knew this week, Bartolo Colon, he almost threw a perfect game. He had his perfect game broken up against Robinson Cano when they faced the Mariners.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But basically, you know, he gave up two out hits in the seventh inning to Robinson Cano, a guy you're familiar with.
Robinson Cano, don't you know?
Don't you know? Yep. But, you know, he was able to, you know, get the win. And he's two wins shy of 200 wins. And, you know, Mets have been rumored to try to trade him because he's making $9 million this year, and he's expected to make $11 million next year. So Mets want to get rid of that hefty contract.
So what, you say, how many wins is he away from 200?
Two.
Two wins. And he's two cheeseburgers away from 90.
Well, hopefully that doesn't happen. But, you know, hopefully he could get this 200 win and hopefully keep this Mets, you know, playoff hopes going, because Mets have been pitching well. I mean, they haven't been scoring as much, but, you know, they're pitching well, you know, and you got to credit the young guys, the young veterans, the rookie, DeGrom, trying to think who else has pitched well on the team. Colon, he's been good for the most part. He's had some shaky starts. Trying to think. Nice, he pitched well that last game, but he lost all his command in that one inning. Trying to think who else. Wheeler is another guy. Wheeler is another guy who has been pitching well this year for sure.
Yeah.
But, you know, hopefully they can keep this momentum going, because Mets are not going to score a lot of runs.
Right.
So hopefully, you know, hopefully they can continue this streak, you know, of you know, playing decent baseball, you know, for the rest of the remainder of the season. But with that, let's another team that's on a redemption path is, of course, our New York Knicks. And I don't know if you heard what Carmelo Anthony said recently.
What he said?
You know, he basically admitted that, you know, he came back not for the money. You know, he came back because he believes in Phil Jackson's, you know, plan on, you know, bringing a championship back to New York. And one thing I also give him credit is that he did admit that he was back and forth between Chicago and New York. Which, you know, we all knew about, because there's been a bunch of rumors about that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm glad he was honest about that, because he could have been like, oh, no, that's not true. You know, New York was always in my heart. You know, I never thought about leaving, you know.
Yeah.
That would have been like, yeah, right, man. Why when people were saying that you were going to sign Wednesday, you know, it took you like, you know, like almost a week to officially make up your mind. So he was honest about that, so. Gotta give him credit for that. So hopefully he can bring that title back.
Well, the Knicks are gonna need a lot of help in order to do that.
Oh yeah, definitely.
A lot of help.
Lot of help. Capital letters, italics, bold letters,
mm-hmm.
underline. They need a lot of help.
Yeah.
Exclamation marks, points, whatever you can say, man. Knicks need a lot of help.
Oh, yeah.
No, but it's a good start. You know, they got Melo back. Hopefully Calderon, D'Alembert, some of these young guys can help out in the organization, you know, help, you know, the Mets, not the Mets, the Knicks get to that next level. Let me see. Oh, yeah, now the, you know, the Kevin Love rumors are still going on with, you know, him, you know, he could opt out of his contract, so a lot of teams are interested in him, especially, you know, the Cavaliers.
I heard the Knicks had offered Minnesota Amari Stoudemire, Tim Hardaway Jr., and Shumpert for Kevin Love, but Minnesota rejected it.
Wow. They shouldn't trade Tim Hardaway Jr., for real.
No,
I mean,
they shouldn't.
I like Shumpert, too. Shumpert, I would love to keep him, too. But if you're going to get a guy, you know, a guy of Kevin Love's caliber, you know, you got to give something up to get something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, Tim Hardaway Jr. should not to be honest with you, I wouldn't want neither Tim Hardaway or Shumpert to be traded, but.
I wouldn't either.
If I had to choose between one of the two, I got to keep Tim Hardaway.
Me too.
But, I mean, they might as well just hold on to Stoudemire. His contract is going to expire. If they're not, you know what I mean? If they're not getting anybody, you know, anybody of a superstar level, you know, they should just hold on to him.
Yeah.
I mean, I understood the need of trading him away when they were trying to pursue, you know, LeBron James to free up enough cap space to, you know, try to sign him. But there's nobody out here right now that you need to trade Stoudemire to sign.
Nah, just wait till next season. You know, don't rush it.
Yeah. Let them expire on the cap, basically.
Yeah.
Unless if you could get a big trade like Kevin Love, you know, like they were trying to do. I mean, basically just hold on to him.
But even that, then I wouldn't want to give up Hardaway Jr. I mean,
well, yeah,
he has potential.
I wouldn't want to give up on Hardaway or Shumpert either, you know. I mean, I understand their thinking, but, you know, I wouldn't give up on Shumpert or especially Hardaway Jr., so.
For real.
Hopefully Phil Jackson can keep making the right decisions, you know.
Better.
You better, because it's been a long time, over 40 years. Let's recap the WWE Battlegrounds, man. To me, I don't know about you, but WWE Battlegrounds was basically a rematch, a redo of the last pay-per-view event. I'm trying to remember which was that Payback? I can't remember which one it was.
Yeah, the was it Money in the Bank?
Yeah, Money in the Bank. You're right. It was basically Money in the Bank Part 2.
Mm-hmm.
The titles didn't change. Basically, you know, Cena walked out as champion. I mean, they had some good matches. I mean, Money in the Bank had some good matches too, especially the tag team match, you know, with the Usos. I thought the Wyatt family was gonna walk away with the titles.
I did also.
But it was the same. You know, nothing happened. Nothing new happened in that pay per view event. You know.
Yeah, it was pretty much the same thing that we saw our last pay per view.
And you know what's the funny thing is? Throughout this whole year, or even going back to last year, the Raw after the pay-per-view events have been better than the pay-per-view events.
Yeah.
I mean, even Triple H was kind of mocking the fans, saying, oh, you know, they're going to be so upset, they're never going to watch it again, they're going to blog and tweet and all that stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it's like, it was the same thing.
Yep.
Pretty much. Imagine if you had to pay pay-per-view money for that. That would have been like...
waste of time.
It would have been. Hopefully they'll get their act together. You know, they're going to have Brock Lesnar versus Cena. You know, they're going to fight again, you know, for the title. That should be an interesting matchup, even though, you know, we've seen them fight multiple times before.
Yeah.
But one thing we've never seen before was Sting basically making his WWE appearance at the Comic-Con. I don't know if you heard about that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he made a surprise appearance. You know, they were promoting Mattel toys, and they played his theme song, and people were expecting like a video or something like that. But he surprised everybody and came on the press conference. You know, he shook Paul Heyman's hands, Daniel Bryan, his friend and former colleague, Hulk Hogan. And, you know, he did some interviews, you know, saying, like, you know, basically the same interviews he's been saying, you know, it's now or never. You know, he wants to fight Undertaker. And in another previous interview...
I'll see it when I believe it. I'll believe when I see it.
Yeah, if it doesn't happen this year, you know, if they don't announce something very soon, I mean, it's not going to happen. But I have a strong feeling it's going to happen because he's, like, popping up a lot more than he ever did.
Yep.
And he's actually acknowledging that, you know, that he wants to fight in the WWE. That's something he never – I mean, he's hinted at it in the past, but he's never been so strongly, you know, passionate about wanting to fight Undertaker and, you know, possibly The Rock or Randy Orton or Cena or Triple H. So, you know, right now his plan is to have one more match, hopefully with Undertaker, and retire.
We'll see. Been saying that for years now.
Yeah, since 2001, basically.
Same old thing.
But we'll see what happens. Hopefully that'll happen. And by the way, he's coming out with a new DVD. It should be September 29. And it's a three-disc set. There's no reports whether or not he's going to, you know, actually do an interview on the DVD set, but the way how he's been having a great relationship with WWE, I would expect that would happen, but that hasn't been confirmed as of yet.
Oh, okay.
Anything you'd like to say?
Just check out my show, IMAC, on Saturdays at 11, and come back here to check out Sports of Religion at 6 on Sundays.
You heard the man. Come back, check out his show, Saturdays at 11, IMAC, and come back here next week, Sundays, 6 p.m., Sports Urban Legend, with your host, William Ramo, which is me, of course, and I'll see you guys next week.